based upon human dignity, the nature of a human person, that we protect certain human rights.
Dr. Ryan Anderson of the Heritage Foundation talking about his presentation at the Fall 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
And then amongst these human rights, the very first one is going to be the right to life, and then the right to liberty, especially religious liberty, and then how freedom of speech, freedom of press, freedom of assembly and association, how these things actually hang together or they fall together. That a society that doesn't respect the free exercise of religion also will tend not to respect freedom of speech or freedom of press or the right to life or rights of private property, that these civil liberties tend to hang together.
You can meet and hear Ryan Anderson making the case for our first freedoms at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 9th and Saturday, November 10th in Dallas, Texas. Find out more and register at issuesetc.org.
You know, I suppose it's fair to say that the only people who really get excited when a new history book comes out are historians. Well, there is a new history book, and it's just more than just one volume. It's called Saints, the Story of the Church of Jesus Christ in the Latter Days. And why should we be interested in that? We're going to talk about that for these next few minutes on Issues Etc. I'm Ken Sherb for Todd Wilkin. Our guest is Bill McKeever, who is the founder of Mormonism Research Ministry. It's based in Draper, Utah. Bill has written several books, including In Their Own Words, a collection of Mormon quotations, and Mormonism 101. Bill, welcome once again to Issues Etc.
Ken, good to be with you.
The Salt Lake Tribune says in its headline about this new book that the Mormon Church publishes its first official history in nearly a century, and the result's an easy-to-read volume that tackles some hard facts. Well, my question to you is what I said a moment ago. Why is this new official history of the Latter-day Saints organization significant, and why should people outside of that organization take notice?
Well, those are some great questions. I don't know as if a whole lot of people outside of the LDS Church would be all that concerned, but of course, a person such as myself who has studied Mormonism for over four decades, I am particularly interested in how they are going to portray their history in this new book. I just started reading it this morning because I just heard about this thing recently, like everybody else. I'm about 10% of the way through it, and let me just say that I've noticed that it does, as the newspaper article you're citing says, it reads more like a novel. It doesn't have a lot of real in-depth information, and it does tend to gloss over what I would say are some of the more controversial areas of Mormon history, as if some of those controversies are not controversies at all. And one in particular is Joseph Smith, the founder of Mormonism when he was a young man. He was arrested and he was charged for being a public nuisance as a glass looker. And according to the new history, it makes it sound like the case was dismissed, that there wasn't any information enough to show that he was guilty. And that's a lot more controversial than just that. And when I read that, I thought, wait a minute. So I hit on the footnote. And this is one thing that's nice about this new history. If you're reading it either in a Kindle version or online, you can go to the links and it will take you to some of the references that are not all that easy to get a hold of, at least for most people. They probably wouldn't even know where to look, but they do connect to some other publications that will give you a little bit of a more rounded understanding. But here's the question, Ken. How many people really read footnotes? I know when I talk to Latter-day Saints, and I do this on a regular basis, I find most Latter-day Saints don't read the footnotes. They just read what's on the printed page. They don't go and look back to see if there's anything more they need to know about that subject. So when you read in this history that this case was basically dismissed, you're not getting all of the facts. Actually, what had happened, there was an article that was published on this particular topic alone. Let me just dwell on that because this is one thing that I really zeroed in while I was studying today. Fraser's Magazine came out with an article on this trial in an 1873 edition. And in that Fraser's Magazine, it said that Joseph Smith was found guilty of glass looking. And of course, a lot of Mormon historians and scholars dismissed that article, and some even went so far as to say that if it was true, it'd be the most damning evidence against Joseph Smith you could find. Well, when the court record was actually discovered several years later, it had on there the judges, and his name was Neely, it had his fees for trying that case. And interesting enough, the total that he had on that piece of paper matched precisely the itemized amount that was in the Fraser's Magazine. And so it corroborated this story. Now, some think that because Joseph Smith was underage, that the judge allowed him to get away, but it wasn't that he was innocent. It was just that he was underage. So there's a lot more to Mormon history that this history book is bringing out. And you could probably find out more about it if you, as an individual, wanted to dig deeper than the book itself. The question is, how many people would actually do that? You take another aspect of Mormon history, the First Vision. It doesn't bring out in this new book the fact that there are a number of different accounts of the First Vision, that Joseph Smith himself gave different accounts about what happened to him allegedly on this spring day in 1820. Joseph Smith in 1832 claimed that he went to pray to God to ask about the forgiveness of his sins. He was visited by Jesus himself, who told him that he was forgiven. But as he tells this story in other cases, he adds details to it till finally we get to the 1838 account, which is the official account that all Latter-day Saints are familiar with, how Joseph Smith went to the woods to pray because he wasn't sure which church he should join. And in this encounter, which is the official account, he's visited by both God the Father and Jesus, and he's told not to join any of the churches, that they're all wrong, their creeds are an abomination, and their professors are corrupt. This new book doesn't bring out a lot of those inconsistencies. In fact, a lot of Mormon scholars and historians want to tell us that they actually harmonized. But they don't. That's the problem. In 1832, Joseph Smith claimed in his diary that he had already learned that all the churches were wrong by reading the Bible and by what he had experienced. And yet in his 1838 account, he says it had never occurred to him that all the churches were wrong, as if when he's told by these personages that the churches are wrong, it's like it's news to him. That's not brought out in this history. Now, in defense of the LDS Church, I know that they're going to catch criticism for anything that a person like myself or even another person reading this who knows about Mormon history might say, well, that should have been put in there. And really, who are we to tell the church what all they should put in their own books? I get all that. I understand that. But the fact is, Mormon history is a lot more complicated than what this book is bringing out, at least what I've read so far. And as I say, I've read about 10% of it so far today.
Well, Bill, with about a minute before we go to break, just describe this work to us a little bit. It's four volumes, so it must be, well, quite voluminous, quite a number of pages. Is it the work of a single author, a collaboration? Is there a lead author and a team? I mean, how did they do this?
From what I understand, reading the beginning, it sounds like there were a number of scholars that were involved in this. And it was really meant, I think, to supplant what the Mormons have had for years. And there's been basically two works that at least I often go to when I'm looking for in-depth understanding of Mormon history. And one is the Documentary History of the Church, or just known as the History of the Church. It's seven volumes. It's produced by the Mormon Church. It was edited by B.H. Roberts, who was a 70 in the Mormon Church. That's the third level in the Mormon hierarchy of government. And he was also a historian. And he also did his own comprehensive history of the Church, which is six volumes. And I've often turned to them, and I think that Roberts was, you know, pretty open in a lot of things, and there's a lot of good things that we can learn from these too. But this is kind of like an abridged version. And quite honestly, Ken, it seemed to me when I'm reading it, it's made for maybe someone of a low high school level. The sentences are really short. The words are not real big. And it doesn't read like a scholarly book at all. And I don't think it was meant to.
Well, granting all that it's written in a kind of a simple way for a very broad public, You said a while ago, Bill, that people don't tend to read footnotes. I wonder who's going to read even 4 volumes. That may be less than 7. Still a lot. We'll ask about that on the other side of this break.
Let's examine the response of our Christian community to the cultural turmoil regarding sexuality and children.
Licensed clinical psychologist Dr. Beverly Yonke talking about her presentation at the Fall 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
In 50 years, we've spiked to what is now a cultural crisis from what was a nearly non-existent issue. We can wring our hands, remain unacquainted with the fact, or simply remain silent and avoid the unpleasantries. Biblical sexuality and God's created order aren't polling well these days, while media talking heads gush about the joys and justice of violating natural law.
You can meet and hear Dr. Beverly Yonke making the case for a Christian response to the transgender child at Issues Etc.'s Making the Case Conference, November 9th and 10th in Dallas, Texas. Find out more and register at issuesetc.org.
Essential exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Memoria Press now offers 6 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for students with special needs. These full-year curriculum packages for children with learning challenges enable you to teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art, poetry, science, history, Latin, literature, and Christian studies with incremental classical methods. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR17 to save on resources for your home or school.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority, they've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
Hey, it's home stretch time. Ken Gerb for Todd Wilkin on Issues Etc. this Wednesday, September 5th, coming to you live, talking with Bill McKeever of Mormonism Research Ministry, Draper, Utah, about this new history of Mormonism by Mormons. It's called Saints, the story of the Church of Jesus Christ in the latter days. Bill, before the break, I mentioned that not only do people these days tend not to read footnotes, they don't tend to read so much at all. So my question to you is, in an era when college instructors are despairing of getting people to read textbooks when they have a grade involved in it, is it realistic to expect that people are going to acquire a lengthy work like this and read it?
Well, that's another great question, Ken, and I don't know if I have an answer for that. I can only go by my own interest in this subject, which certainly causes me to want to read as much as I can on it, but you probably raise a very good issue here. But if a person is, let's say, interested in the subject, let's say that they have been talking to Mormon missionaries or they have been talking to their neighbor over the fence about what they believe, this can be something that a Latter-day Saint can give to a prospective member to read, to give them an overall view of what the Mormon Church is all about. Now, in what I've read so far, I don't know is if it would sound all that exciting to me, because what it does do in this history is it doesn't, for instance, hide the fact that Joseph Smith did have a seer stone, and he used this seer stone to, quote-unquote, translate the Book of Mormon. It doesn't try to hide that fact, which is interesting, because for many years, at least for a great majority of the years that I've been studying Mormonism, Latter-day Saints were practically unaware of this seer stone. It's not that it was never spoken of, it's just that it wasn't spoken of enough for members to get a grasp that that was actually a part of their history. Well, that's all changed in recent years. The Mormon Church started coming out with these gospel topics, essays, they called them, back in 2013, and they were released over a period of time. In fact, we just had some more of these essays released in early August. And these were supposed to tackle some of the more thorny issues of Mormon history. And it actually, I think, backfired in a way because they were being so transparent on some of these issues that Mormons reading these essays were reading a history that they had never been told, and in fact, in some cases, had been told it was nothing but lies. So it caused a lot of Mormons to rethink their position. I just dealt with an individual just recently who came out of the Mormon Church because of these gospel topics essays, and how he told me that this was not the church that he was familiar with, and he was shocked at what he was reading that the church was admitting to. So that's a great question. How much will they actually read? I think something like this, maybe if they were interested in the topic because they had some kind of interest in maybe even joining the Mormon Church, they might. But at the same time, they're not going to hear a lot of the controversial issues that they probably should take into account before they make a decision in joining this organization.
Well, I guess I'm just kind of wondering in the back of my mind, is there something afoot in releasing this new official history right now, other than the kind of stated purpose of trying to reach the young and the uninitiated? I mean, the historical veracity of official Mormon texts is highly questionable at best. For example, the Smithsonian Institution famously said years ago that their archaeologists see no direct connection between the archaeology of the New World and what you find in the Book of Mormon. So is telling the history of the LDS movement, instead of rehashing things like what was going on in prehistoric America, a safer ground to point to one's own historical transparency and one's own historical accuracy? We've got about a minute and a half here.
Well, it might be safer ground if this is the source that most people are going to go to. It'll prevent them probably from going to the meatier ones like the documentary History of the Church or the comprehensive history of the church that I was talking about earlier. And in that case, it may be enough to convince somebody to join the LDS Church. But as I said before, so far what I've read, if I was thinking about joining the church and I saw all this strange, occultic, and I don't mean occultic in a devil type of way, as many people take that word occult now, but I see this seer stone stuff going on, that would probably turn me off. I think enough of that would say, wait a minute, something sounds awfully strange here. Do the Mormons really do that now? And if not, why not? If it was good in the 19th century, why wouldn't it be good in the 21st? I mean, a lot of questions I would think would come up that would probably tend to keep a person from joining the church by reading a book such as this.
A good resource, however, for people who want to dig in, and like you said, you've got these hyperlinks that'll take you to still more sources, and so if you're a Bill McKeever and you really want to bone up on your Mormonism, well, you've got a big opportunity here, right?
Absolutely. That's for sure.
Thank you, Bill. Bill McKeever is the founder of Mormonism Research Ministry, based in Draper, Utah. He is the author of several books, including In Their Own Words, a collection of Mormon quotations, and Mormonism 101. It's our pleasure to have you on Issues Etc. again, Bill.
Thanks again.
Coming up on the program tomorrow, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will introduce us to the book of Jeremiah. And looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the one-year lectionary, we'll be talking to Pastor David Peterson about Jesus' admonition, do not be anxious, in Matthew chapter 6. You know, one thing that kind of always comes to my mind when I think about Mormonism is a sort of a version of Pascal's wager. It goes like this. If Mormonism is correct, then Christians have relatively little to lose if they're good persons. Even if they reject Mormonism, they still enter the terrestrial kingdom and may enter paradise through baptism by proxy. But if Christianity is true, then Mormons will unceasingly experience outer darkness. How's that for a point to get Mormons to take Christianity seriously? Hey, I'm Ken Sherb for Todd Wilken. Delighted to have been with you today on Issues Etc. I think I'm back, on Friday? So I will talk to you then. Have a good day. Thanks for your time this time. Till next time on Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilken and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
How was school today, kids?
Crazy! Hector's charioteer got hit by a stone, and his eyes fell out into the dust before him there at his feet.
Sounds like Patroclus was being hot-tempered, rude, and quarrelsome again.
He always is. Dad, what's for supper?
I don't know yet. Supper is such a problem.
If it's a problem, you can use the scientific method to figure it out.
Problem? We want supper. Hypothesis? I think Dad will make tacos.
Actually, I was thinking about spaghetti.
Tacos or spaghetti?
False dichotomy.
Is this the after-school conversation of your dreams? Registration is now open for the 2018-19 school year at St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois, the only classical Lutheran school in the St. Louis area.
Hey, Dad, how did my violin practice sound?
Kiddo, it sounded epic.
Learn more at school.stpaulhamel.org. School.stpaulhamel.org.